the scripture reading this evening comes from Acts chapter 24, verses 24 through 26. Acts chapter 24, verses 24 through 26. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have it, in any time I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. Well, good evening, everyone. Always thank you for these opportunities I have. I'm so glad that everyone is here safely. The topic this evening is procrastination. An old friend of mine, and maybe an old friend of yours as well. Procrastination, the thief of time. And it's interesting when you think of procrastination, it's probably something that we've all faced at one time or another in our lives. And it steals away something that is so precious and so valuable, that which is time. Why is time so valuable? Because they're not making any more time. You have a certain amount of it, and once it's gone, it's gone. Once it's used, you can't get it back. Time is certainly a valuable thing. And you would think, with something so valuable and so precious, if we knew that something or someone was stealing it from us, that we would be a little bit more mindful and conscious. Procrastination. Procrastination is defined as putting off or delaying, especially something requiring immediate action. As a preacher, that's something that I've thought about many times. Procrastination. As I try to preach the gospel, as I try to get people to conform their lives to the teachings of the Bible, so many times I fear that I'm staring procrastination straight in the face. Procrastination in people's lives as they put off and put off and put off those things that require immediate action. Those things that should not be put off, those things that should not go to tomorrow, but yet I see them go tomorrow again and again and again. This evening we're going to look a little bit about procrastination. The first thing I'd like to look at shortly is the excuses of procrastination. See, sometimes procrastination wears a disguise. A disguise that sometimes hides itself, masks itself. The first way I think procrastination masks itself is in the form of laziness. Why is one reason that people delay from doing things? Well, simply and honestly, is they just don't want to do it, right? That's why we put it off, is I don't want to do that thing. So I'm going to put it off. That's one reason why people will delay. And so many times it catches people. You know, the interesting thing, it doesn't matter if it's procrastination delaying. And it's interesting that some people say, well, you know, I'm procrastinating because I don't want to do it. Or maybe they're not even honest enough with themselves to say that's why they're delaying, is because they don't want to do it. But, you know, I think the Bible does give us a picture that laziness is not something that a Christian should do. There are certain things in our lives that we have to do. There are certain things that we cannot put off, even though they might not be most ideal for us. It's interesting the picture that the Bible paints about laziness, which is sometimes masked as procrastination. In Proverbs chapter 26, verses 13 through 15, in verse 15 it says, "The lazy man buries his hands in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to its mouth." Hopefully we never fall to that degree that we're so lazy, as we see in Proverbs chapter 26, verses 13 through 15. In verse 15 it says, "The lazy man buries his hands in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth." An individual that's so lazy, it seems like even eating has become something that they do not have any interest in. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13, it says, "The lazy man says, there's a lion outside, I shall be slain in the street." It's interesting how people that are lazy, people who don't want to do something, because they don't want to do something, they delay and delay and delay, they will find every excuse they can to put those things off that they don't wish to do. There's things that we have to do in this life. There's a lot of things I don't want to do. I don't want to pay my bills. You know, there's some days where I don't want to wake up early. There's some days where I just don't want to do things. Well, that's procrastination masked as laziness. Whenever I think of laziness, there's a really humbling scripture that always comes to my mind that I always try to remember when I feel a little lazy. When I'm trying to put things off. And why is the reason I'm trying to put things off? Because I'm just getting a little bit lazy. It reminds me of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. It's a humbling experience when I read this, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, but I think I'm going to go to verse 11. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer, and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? Will you rise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." What's it saying? It says, look to the ant if you're lazy. What does the ant do? The ant wakes up without an overseer, without a ruler, and you know what the ant does? It goes about its business of doing things that need to be done. And you know, it's interesting so many times that I think we're less than the ant. Because we need an overseer, we need a ruler, we need someone over us to say, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. But that's not an excuse, is it? Is that we as Christians, there are certain things that we might not have, be 100% in and feel like this is something that I absolutely want to do today, but it has to be done. And it's easy to say, well, you know what, everything that you do throughout your life, you should just be happy and have joy all the time. But I think that's ignoring the other half of the coin. If we have hard days sometimes, sometimes we grow a little bit weary, but the trick is not growing weary and going through with things even when we're not feeling 100%, even when we're not all the way at feeling all that we have. But it's interesting how people will find every excuse to delay. Every excuse can be found. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 3 through 4, it says, "If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." I think what it's getting about here in Ecclesiastes is sometimes people worry about things they can't control. Can you control if it's going to rain or not? No, you can't control whether it's going to rain or not. But if you worry all day if it's going to rain or not, guess what you're not going to do? You're not going to do anything. And if you're worrying all day about a tree falling in a certain place, then you're not going to do anything. It says, "He who observes the wind will not sow, he who regards the clouds will not reap." It reminds me when I was a teen and I was mowing a lot of yards with my brother. There's many days that we could have went out and said, "You know what? It looks like it's going to rain. And I don't really want to mow. So you know what? We'll just take the day off." And you know what happens is it doesn't rain. And we could have got all that work done, and yet we were worried and we were looking at the clouds. So many times we'll find whatever excuse we can to get out of things. Sometimes I believe procrastination masks itself in the form of laziness. I think other times procrastination many times will mask itself as something that's not important. Or at least we say it's not important, a lack of urgency. You know, I have a student, and without fail, he's the last one to class every day. Well, why is he the last one to class every day? He doesn't view education as an urgent thing. You know, it's not really important. I don't have to get there quickly. I don't have to be on time. Why? Because it's not important to me. And certain things in our lives, when they don't become important to us, we lose a sense of urgency. And that's why we delay. Well, why are we delaying when it comes to this activity? Well, it's not important. And there's certain things in our lives that you getting put back and just keep getting put back. Why? Because they're not urgent. They're not important. We'll just keep putting it back again and again and again. And what happens is we put them back so far that we can't even do them anymore. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, it says, "Must work and the works of him who sent me be while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." You know, it's interesting when Jesus is speaking here. He says, well, we work in the day, and then when it becomes night, we can't work. You know, we used to not have electricity, so there's a lot of things that we shouldn't do in the dark. There's a time to work, and there's a time where we get to rest. But it's interesting how many times we'll put things off until the time of rest. It's like, oh, that's not important, that's not important, that's not important, and we'll keep putting it off until we can't even do it. It's impossible now. It's like, oh, you know what, I really want to mow the grass now. Well, it's dark outside, you can't mow the grass now. You just kept putting it off. A lack of urgency. Number three, I think many times, individuals will not make things a priority in their life. And because they're not a priority in their life, what happens is they never get done. And because things are not a priority in life, I think we get conquered many times by things such as fear. See, when things are a priority in your life, you know, fear disappears. I think a good example is kids, right? You know, your kids are your number one priority. I mean, we have God, but then you have your family. You know, these kids are number one priority. All of a sudden, a lot of things don't matter. All of a sudden, a lot of things get put to the back burner. All of a sudden, a lot of things don't matter because your child's your priority. You know, I'm not saying that I'm fearless, but if my daughter was ever in danger, you know what? There might be some situations that I would be afraid of under normal circumstances, but I would rush in there like I wasn't afraid at all because I'm trying to save my daughter. I think sometimes we let our priorities slip. And I think sometimes procrastination will mask itself as something that's not a priority. Well, that's not a priority. I'll put it off. That's not a priority, so I won't try to conquer my fears. That's not a priority, so I'm going to let other things get in the way. You know, when we think of these situations, there's all kinds of things that we don't want to do. But yet, there's many times where we know we have to do those things. There's many times in our lives where there are important things that we need to do, and we somehow convince ourselves that they're not important. And then there's sometimes where there's things that are priorities, that should be priorities in our life, and they don't. When we think of an individual who makes a New Year's resolution, one of the most common, as referenced this morning, is about health. Now, a question, when it comes to procrastination and the topic of health, do people want to be healthy? I think many people will say, yes, I want to be healthy. Well, if you ask them and you question them and you say, well, do you think it's important to be healthy? They'll say, yes, it's important to be healthy. But why aren't they? Because it's not a priority. See, I think it takes those three things. And I'm not saying that it's always those three things. I'm not saying it's always in that perfect order. I'm not saying that's encompassing all things in regards to procrastination. But in order to conquer procrastination, you have to have a desire. You have to want to do it. If you don't want to do it, guess what? You're going to delay. You also have to, whatever it is, you have to view it as important. You know why? Because if you don't view it as important, you'll delay. But see, we all know that there's things in our lives that we say, yeah, we want to do that. And we all say there's things in our lives that are important to do. Yes, I want to do that, and yes, I know it's important. But why haven't we taken action? Because it's not a priority. Let's look at a situation where it wasn't a priority in someone's life. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9, verses 59 through 62. In Luke chapter 9, verses 59 through 62, we find an interesting situation where I think many individuals will kind of stay away from it because they don't necessarily like what said here, but I think we can explain it in terms of priority. In Luke chapter 9, verses 59 through 62, it says, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What was Jesus getting at here? I think Jesus was getting at priorities. Were he saying things that were not necessarily important? I think when we look at this and when we think about our families and things, those things are important. But priorities, at that moment, at that time, what was the most important thing? That they would follow Jesus. That was the most important thing. Now, what's interesting here is I think he can make the argument that these people had a desire. If someone had a desire, they said, yeah, we want to follow Jesus. In fact, they're talking to Jesus. They're inquiring about Jesus. Did they want to? I think there was a little bit of a want there. Did they know it was important? Well, apparently they thought it was important. They're having these conversations with Jesus. What was the problem? The problem was their priorities. Do we have problems with our priorities? Do we make excuses when it comes to delaying things? Why do you delay things? Do you delay things because you don't want to do them? Do you delay things because you view them as not important? Do you delay things because it's not a priority in your life? Is that why you delay? We're so quick to point the finger at others. We're so quick to look at other individuals and we can see when they have these problems. Well, so-and-so just doesn't want to do that. Well, so-and-so just doesn't think that's important. Well, so-and-so, they kind of are having some problems with their priorities. But when it comes to ourselves, can we see the fault of procrastination? See, the reality of procrastination is God gives us every reason not to procrastinate. God gives us every reason not to delay. See, when it comes to serving Jesus, I think the first thing, the way to conquer procrastination, is you have to want to serve Jesus. Well, what reasons do we have for that? Well, Jesus died for us. He's prepared a place for us. Aren't those reasons enough to want to serve Jesus? I'd say those are quite enough. Well, is it important to follow Jesus? And I think most of us would say, yes, it's important to follow Jesus. All spiritual blessings and all spiritual things are important. Shouldn't we pursue those things utmost? And I think we would agree to that. Well, where's the problem? It's the priorities. Do you seek first the kingdom of God? Do you seek first the kingdom of God? Because, see, I think there's a lot of people in this life who have a desire to go after Jesus. I think there's a lot of people in this life that think following Jesus is important. But where they fall short is when it comes to priorities. They're not willing to make God number one. You know, I'll try to sneak God in at number three, and that'll be okay. Well, you'll delay. You'll delay over and over and over again because you have problems with these three things. The reality is our time's running out. And I think that's a Bible idea. Why would we delay? We have every reason to want to serve Jesus. We know that it's important to serve Jesus. And we know that it should be the number one priority in our life. Why are we delaying when time is fleeting? James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." Our life is but a vapor. It's an idea throughout the Bible that life is short, life is fleeting, and yet how many times that have we delayed on things that we know that we should have done? Why do we delay in doing good? Why do we delay in doing good? There's never a good time to do something bad and never a bad time to do something good, but don't we find every reason to delay doing those things which are good? The psalmist wrote Psalm 90 in verse 12. It says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." I think that's an interesting idea. So teach us to number our days. How many days do you have left? Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Why? Because you know that life is slipping away. And if you don't get a hold of it, if you don't get a hold of your priorities, if you don't get a hold of those things that are important, if you don't get a hold of those things that need to be done, they'll just pass into the next day. The psalmist wrote Psalm 39, verses 4 through 5. It says, "Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? Indeed, you have made my days as heart breath, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but a vapor." What is you at your best state? A vapor. That's you at your best state. How much time do you think you have? How many days do you think you can cast off? How many days can you fill with things that are not important? How many days can you fill with things that are not priority? How many days can you fill with things that don't really need to be done? How can we waste so much time when life is but a vapor? Do we forget what the Bible says? Because if you listen to our society, you know what our society is saying? You're going to live forever. That's what they're saying now, isn't it? That's what the scientific community is saying. You're going to live forever. No worries. Well, what does the Bible say? Psalm 90 and verse 10. "And the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." 70 years. Do you think about that? Do you number your days? Do you have a countdown in your head? And we know that many times we are cut far short of 70. We saw it time and time again. We have death as a constant reminder of that. And how many times do we let that time slip away? How many times do we delay? You know, I think of it in perspective of my age. About to turn 25 in April. 25 divided by 70 times 100, that's the percentage of my life I've lived. If God blesses me to get to 70, I'm a third of the way there. How close are you? Or you don't like to think about that. You don't like to number your days. You don't like to have a countdown. And we know that we're many times cut short of 70. I'm a third of the way there. How close are you? Are you delaying? Are you procrastinating? Are you pushing those things down the line? Those things that are important. Those things that need to be done. Those things that should be a priority in your life. I think the Bible teaches us to seize the day. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119 and verse 60, it says, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. I made haste. Do we make haste to do those things which need to be done? Let's turn to Acts chapter 24. We've looked at excuses. I think people make all kinds of excuses. Well, I don't want to do it. That's an excuse. Well, it's not important. And that, because it's not important, the urgency is not there. And then we look at the idea of priorities. It's not a priority in people's lives. And those are all reasons that people delay. So the only way to counter that is to flip those three and say, I have a desire to do this. That I understand that this is important and that I am going to make it a priority in my life. But in Acts chapter 24, verses 24 through 26, I think we see basically one of the great procrastination, texts of the Bible. Someone that we look at, we look at Felix, and what do we do when we read this text? Come on, Felix, what are you doing? Why are you delaying? Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting, Felix? And he says those famous words, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. What is he doing? He's delaying, isn't he? He's delaying. He says, give me some more time. Just give me some more time. At a more convenient time, I'll call you back. And I don't see any place in the New Testament where Felix became a New Testament Christian, as far as I know. I don't see that. I'm not saying it's not, it's not possible, but I don't see it there. You procrastinate when it comes time to obey. Will you wait until it's too late? How many opportunities have you let pass? You know, when we look at Felix, I guess we have to ask ourselves some questions. You know, did he want to become a Christian? Did he want to become a Christian? And I think many times that's something that I have to keep in perspective throughout life, is that when we look at someone who's not obeying the gospel, we say they're procrastinating. Well, see, what I'm more concerned about as a preacher, I know they're procrastinating, but the real question is why? Why are you procrastinating? Why are you waiting? Because we as Christians, what do we understand? What do we know? We have a desire to be Christians. We know it's important to be a Christian. And we have said that Christ being number one in our life is a priority. And that's why we're Christians. See, if someone's not becoming a Christian, it's easy to say, oh, they're procrastinating. And I agree, they probably are procrastinating. But the real question is, why are they procrastinating? Well, number one is, they don't want to become a Christian. They don't have a desire to become a Christian. And I know that's hard for us to suck up sometimes. It's hard for me to suck up sometimes as a preacher. But you know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23? It says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's an idea in the Bible that if an individual is going to follow Jesus, it's going to be of their own accord. I can desire as much as I want for other individuals. It can hurt me deeply. But they have to desire it for themselves. They have to desire it for themselves. Number two is they have to view it as important. Don't they have to view it as important? Yeah, the desire has to be there, but there's another aspect of it. It's the idea of it has to be important. Are we willing to ask those questions to people? Why do you think not being a Christian is not important? Because that's why there's a lack of urgency. That's why they're putting it off. Why are they putting it off? Well, number one, they don't have a desire. Number two, for whatever reason, and we want to figure this out as best we can, why do you not view being a Christian as important? Isn't that a reason why people procrastinate? Isn't that a reason why people delay becoming a Christian? Because they don't view it as important. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, it says, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? see, the importance is the soul. The importance is eternity. But I think many times, when I look at individuals and they're not becoming a Christian, number one, they don't have a desire. We want them to have a desire. Number two is they're not doing it as important. I've got to try to convince them that living the Christian life or becoming a Christian is important. And part of that is understanding the value of the soul. Number three is, do they view it as a priority? Because I think there's a lot of people out there that sometimes I think they have a desire to become a Christian. And I know this is a stretch, but I think sometimes people have a desire to become a Christian. I think sometimes they view that becoming a Christian is important, but what's holding them back? They're not willing to make it the priority. They're not willing to make it number one. Because when you make God the priority, fears disappear. Just like my daughter. My daughter is a high priority in my life. So there's a whole bunch of things that could happen to my daughter, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do. Why? Because it's a priority in my life. And when people are ready to become Christians, Jesus has to become the priority. See, we see people in the Bible that I think they perhaps have a slight desire. I'm not saying it's perfect. I know I might be going a little far with the meaning of desire, but in John chapter 12 and verse 42, I think we find some interesting people. In John chapter 12, verse 42, it says, "Nevertheless, among the rulers, many believed in him." They believed. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. I think these individuals had somewhat of a... They liked Jesus. They at least thought he was who he said he was for some reason. There was somewhat of a desire. He's Jesus. And you know what? It probably would be important to follow him. But why don't you? Why do you delay? Because I'm afraid? Because I have all these things? Well, what would conquer all that is if you make Jesus your number one priority. You don't care about anything else. But many times people make that mistake. See, we can look throughout the Bible, we can see all kinds of situations, and we can look at these people, and I think you'll find these three things. Is, you know, you look at King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, verses 28 through 32, the individual who says, "You almost persuaded me to become a Christian." Well, why didn't he become a Christian? He didn't have a desire to become a Christian. It wasn't important for him to become a Christian. He didn't want to make Christ number one in his life. And that's why he didn't become a Christian. See, when you have these three, okay, and even sometimes I don't know if it necessarily takes all three because they're just so closely aligned, sometimes you don't recognize all three. But when we look at Acts chapter 16, I think we can say this individual has all three. Who is this? Well, the Philippian jailer. In Acts chapter 16, verses 32 through 33, it says, "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Immediately he and all his family were baptized." Did the Philippian jailer have a desire? Did he want to be a Christian? Yes. Did he view it as important? Yes. Was he willing to make Jesus number one in his life? Yes. And to the degree that it didn't seem like anything else mattered. In fact, many of us reading this text are under the impression that this was late, late at night. See, when you have these things, procrastination doesn't exist anymore. When you have a desire to follow Jesus, when you realize that it's important to follow Jesus, when you're willing to put everything aside and make Jesus number one priority, you'll follow Jesus. I think I've made the mistake many times in my life to try to force people to follow Jesus, particularly in my high school. But see, the thing is once they have these three things, once they have the desire, they view it as important in Jesus, they're willing to make him the number one priority, I don't have to beg anyone. They will beg me. They'll say, "Get me to the water and get me there fast. I don't care what time it is. I don't care what place it is. It's time. It's no time to delay. The time is now." And you think about that. Really, there's not procrastination when you have these things. Procrastination doesn't exist in the world where you desire to do something, you see it as important, and you're willing to put all other things aside to make it a priority. There is no procrastination. There is no delay. And that's exactly when you become a Christian. We see throughout the Bible many times people procrastinate. They put things off, and we try to explain it. We try to understand it. And certainly, I've spent a lot of my life trying to understand it. And I definitely don't have all the answers on the topic, and it's one that definitely pumps my mind in many regards. Procrastination. But the reality is, I think there's only one way to face procrastination, and that's the way of the individual. Is the way to conquer procrastination is through your own free will and saying, I have a desire to follow Jesus. Not only do I have a desire to follow Jesus, but I view it as important. And not only do I view it as important, it's that I am going to act on that, and I'm going to make Jesus number one in my life. And when someone does that, I just persist. There's not much I have to do. They'll be begging me instead of the other way around. And I fear many times that because we fear procrastination, we look at procrastination, procrastination bothers us, procrastination makes us sick. As we see it in our friends and our loved ones, we have to realize that when procrastination is conquered, it's not going to matter. So there's certainly a lot of things that we can do to try to help these individuals. Well, what can we try to do is we've got to try to hone that desire to follow Jesus. We've got to show them that there is wonderful things to follow Jesus and the reasons why to follow Jesus. We have to create that desire to follow Jesus. Not only do we have to create that desire and try to hone that desire, try to encourage that desire, but we have to show them that the Christian life is important. And not only that the Christian life is important, but that once you understand that you have a desire and that it is important, that you need to move forward and make Jesus the number one priority in your life. Certainly Jesus gives us time. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's my desire as well, that all will come to repentance. Jesus has blessed you with another opportunity, the opportunity of time. There's not the promise of tomorrow. As time fleets, will we continue to procrastinate throughout our lives? It's not necessarily for people that are non-Christians, but it's true for people who are Christians, that we understand that there are things in our life that need to be done. There are things in our life that are important, and the only way they're going to get done is if we make them a priority in our lives. And if we don't, they'll get passed on tomorrow. And they'll get passed on tomorrow. And they'll get passed on tomorrow for an eternity. The Bible says, behold, now is an acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow definitely could be too late. We have every reason not to procrastinate in our lives, particularly when it comes to spiritual things. But yet, we find every reason to procrastinate when it comes to spiritual things. It's the most important thing, but yet it's the one that continually gets lost into people's lives, and it's one that hurts me so much. But when you have those things, I just assist you. It's just an amazing thing. When someone gets to that point where they have that desire, when they see the importance, when they have decided that Jesus is the number one priority in their life, I don't have to do anything. And in fact, if I do, I do that person a disservice. Procrastination is a great thing in this world in terms of the way it's affected our lives and affected lives of our friends and our families, but it can be conquered through Jesus Christ. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, if you need to become a New Testament Christian, or you need to get back on that straight and narrow path, you need to pray for the church. We'd love to help you any way we can. Please come as we stand and as we sing.